And joined now here on Radio Row by Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. And I told him if I said Atlanta Journal-Constitution, don't punch me in the face. He is now with Gridiron Now. And, of course, you see him a lot on the SEC Network and a bunch of other places. Good to have you back on the show. How are you?
Thanks. First of all, I would say that when I take over as czar, we're going to do away with Central Time. Okay. There's no reason to have it that I can possibly think
of. Well, you know what I learned, just is that this is a weird aside, but when the Olympics were in Beijing a few years back, you know, all of China, which is probably as big as America, they have one time zone for that very reason.
There you go.
Doesn't matter. So if you live on the west side.
So what if it gets dark at 3 o'clock in California?
Yeah, that's
I don't
right.
care.
Doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, yes, no. That's what time it is what time it is. I told you I was going to start you off. It's kind of odd for all of us. This is my, I think, 12th I want to do in these. You've done more, I know. But Steve Spurrier has been here, or, you know, with the exception of a couple of years, every time since 1990.
Yeah, every time since 1990, except for the 3 years he was in exile in the NFL. It's just hard to not have him here. And understand he was on yesterday with Feinbaum and got in a couple of digs, and of course it would be.
Of course.
So, which means he's here even when he's not.
Right.
So that's good.
I know he misses it a little bit, but let's start. You know, so many people with Will Muschamp, you know, some people say his time in Gainesville was a failure. He did win an Eastern Division, and I feel like, Tony, I'll get your take on it. I feel like he left the cupboard pretty full for Jim McElwain last year as they won the East, even though the division is certainly not very strong right now. Let's just admit that. But what was your thought during the process for Ray Tanner ultimately hiring Will Muschamp?
Well, first of all, when you look back at Will Muschamp's time at Florida, you know, they were really good defensively every year that he was there, you know, as in top 15 kind of defense. What happened on the offensive side of the ball is that they got into a hole. They hired Charlie Weiss as offensive coordinator. They dug themselves a hole on the offensive side, and they never got out of it. He tried three different coordinators. So I've sat down with Will, and we've talked about it, and I feel confident he knows where the mistakes were made and what he needs to do offensively. He's brought Kurt Roper back, which I think is a good move. Now the issue is he's got to go out and find some playmakers, and when you had basically one really good playmaker and he's gone, that's tough. But in terms you ask about when Ray Tanner was looking at him, I just think he's a guy who understands the league. He understands what it takes. You look at that coaching staff he's put together of a lot of guys that I know who are really good recruiters. I think long-term, South Carolina is going to be fine. Short-term, I think this could be a difficult year.
And to that end, I'll ask you, and I've asked guests already, so I just one of those questions that I'll ask everybody, what would you look at as a successful year for South Carolina in 2016?
6-6 would be a really good year.
Just getting a bowl game.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be a good first year, first start, because you just look at the talent and where the holes are, and, I mean, you just can't lose Sky Moore late, like South Carolina did. So I think 6-6 would be a really good year for them.
Tony Barnhart with us here on Radio Row live at SEC Media Days. As we look around, you know, Dan Mullen talked today. I want to get into some of the more serious things, and the commissioner certainly talked about the disciplinary issues and some of the assault, things like that. Dan Mullen today, I don't want to say distancing himself, but saying my president, my athletics director made the decision on Jeffrey Simmons. And I think that's the right thing for a coach to say, because it's the truth. A president, really not even an AD. I think a president should make that decision.
That decision was made at the presidential level, no doubt.
But is it too little a punishment to just one game? I mean, based on what we've all seen, what's your take on that?
I was there the day that it was announced in Destin. I was there when Scott Strickland walked into the media room at the Hilton and explained to us, you know, why it was done. That was a very difficult meeting for all of us and for him. I wrote at the time that I could understand the rationale before admitting him. But if you admit him, then I think you got to sit him for a year. And that's what I called for. I just think you cannot give him, particularly when you look at the video, which is very disturbing, I don't think you can give him just one game. I think there's got to be some real consequences to it. So that was my position. You admit him, okay, but he's got to sit for a year.
How many schools in the SEC would have sat him for a year?
I don't know. I think it's a fair question to ask, and I think it's a question that the Southeastern Conference is going to ultimately have to address. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, yesterday said the conference is not yet ready to get into the business of weighing these issues for initial freshman eligibility because the kid's coming right out of high school. They obviously do have the rule that you can't transfer into another SEC or an SEC school with this sort of thing on your record. I think eventually the Southeastern Conference may not want to do it, but I think eventually they'll have to take a real hard look at that.
when you look beyond some of those issues right now, you know, Dan Mullen, a lot of people have said he was kind of ready to go. And if some of these jobs that were open, if he could, I mean, maybe looking at Maryland and a few others, how much of that specifically in Starkville do you look at? Not so much as trouble, but we've got to do everything we can right now. Ole Miss is passing us by. Obviously, going up against Bama and LSU is always difficult. That's a very unique atmosphere in Starkville in terms of what they want to be.
Yeah, it is. But I think Scott Strickland, the athletic director, has done a tremendous job of getting those programs funded. They pay Dan Mullen very well. Yes. The fact that he makes $4 million a year in Starkville, Mississippi. But Dan has given them the greatest consistency they've had in a long, long time. But yeah, you want to keep a coach like a Dan Mullen. And I've met Dan's wife and his family. They really like it there. It's a great quality of life, and people appreciate what they've done. But it is a tough job. So I'm anxious this year to see, without Dak Prescott there as sort of the anchor, how they fare. And they believe they've got enough talent to win 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, and as we say that, a cowbell rings in the lobby of the
can't
Winfrey Hotel.
Cowbell
you can't.
No,
yeah,
can't
can.
Get enough cowbell.
That's exactly right. Tony Barnhart with us here for a few more minutes. I'm going to vote for Alabama to win the conference again, mm-hmm. because I don't see another school that is just ready. LSU certainly has maybe a virtually equal talent level. I don't know if they have a virtually equal coaching talent level. And certainly I don't think anybody in the East is ready to beat Alabama.
And until somebody proves they can beat Alabama, I think you have to go with them. They are, yeah, people will focus on, you know, who they lost and, you know, A'shaun Robinson and all those guys. They're loaded. I mean, they're absolutely loaded at every position. They're going to have to do a little rebuilding on the offensive line. They've got to figure out who the quarterback is. But you know what? They figured out who the quarterback is for the last 2 years. And so the only issue with Alabama, I'm going to pick Alabama to win too, but the only issue I have with Alabama is one of the toughest SEC road schedules I've seen. You know, got to go to Tennessee, right. Got to go to Arkansas, got to go to Ole Miss, got to go to LSU. That's just brutal.
Right.
And can they go 3-1, 4-0 against that? We'll see. But that's the only thing that makes me slightly hesitant about picking Alabama.
And to that end, first off, who's maybe, before I ask you about a dark horse, who's a second favorite? Is it LSU?
Oh, yeah. I think it's Alabama and LSU on the first tier. Then Ole Miss is on the second tier, really by themselves. There's nobody else quite like them because they've got the best quarterback in the league. Right. They've got some good skill people. They've got to rebuild the offensive line. So I'm not, I think Ole Miss will have another good year, but I don't see them as having quite enough on the line of scrimmage to win the division.
How do you feel like the issues surrounding Ole Miss football are going to hamper them mentally?
See, I've done this long enough now, and I know I've met enough of these kids. I don't think it really affects them. I think that's something over there. All I'm worried about is blocking the guy that's in front of me and playing in these games and winning them. I think once the game – now, we in the media talk about it a lot, and it's important. It's serious stuff. But for the players, once the games start, they don't even think about that kind of
right.
stuff.
Who is a dark horse? Give me somebody that you're thinking that could win the conference outright, win in Atlanta in December.
There is really not a dark horse who I think can win the conference. I think, you know, in the West, like I said, it's Alabama and LSU, then Ole Miss. The champion will come from one of those three schools. In the East, it's Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia, and the champion will come from one of those schools. Because I think the gap after those sets of three that I was pointing out to you is rather significant. And so I see some teams that are going to be better than people think they are, like Vanderbilt's going to be better than people think they are. Kentucky's going to be better than people think they are. But there's not a – I don't see a dark horse who can win, surprise us by winning the championship.
We've already talked about picking Alabama to win it. I'm picking Florida to play them again, too. I know Tennessee will probably be the one that right. is the favorite here to win the East. And my reasoning, Tony, is I need to see it from Tennessee. And
sure.
I keep saying that, but I can't see it. So I got to vote one way or another with what's in my head right now. And Florida was pretty strong on defense again last year. Should be again. Maybe the offense gets better as McElwain gets his offensive system rolling. How do you feel about the East with
well,
those two?
I'm picking Tennessee because they've got the fewest questions.
Right.
They've got their salt. They know what they're going to do at quarterback. And Tennessee gets Florida at home.
Right.
All right. And I think you put all those together now. September 24th, when Florida comes to Knoxville, Florida wins that game, then all bets are off. And it could get real ugly at Tennessee. Tennessee has, after losing 11 straight to Florida, they've got to win that game.
And if Tennessee doesn't make it to Atlanta, disappointment or failure? If I draw that semantical line,
I mean it's going to be perceived as a failure because they've been building on this for 4 years. I'm not saying that's fair, but that's how it's going to be perceived because you've got everything is in place now. Okay. Joshua Dobbs is a senior. You know, you've got some guys waiting in the wings. But from a talent standpoint, I mean, this is the year. They've been working at it 4 years. A
couple more minutes here with Tony Barnhart. Go back to Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and then I want to put South Carolina into that. One thing, Tony, that I've said for a long time, with a few exceptions in the last couple of years when Carolina was winning 49 games over a five-year period and was just better than Kentucky, a lot of Gamecock fans don't like hearing that those two programs are a lot closer to one another than Carolina fans would like, considering that Kentucky's a basketball school. You just mentioned Vanderbilt's going to be better. Some folks are already saying Vandy will beat South Carolina in that Thursday opener. How close is, in your opinion, South Carolina to those two schools in terms of, I don't want to say being perennial doormats, mind right. you, in the SEC East, but how close is it?
Well, in terms of a program, South Carolina is ahead of those. In terms of the 2016 football teams, they're very, very close. I was very impressed the day that I spent in Vanderbilt during the spring. I think Derek Mason has gotten things turned around and they're headed in the right direction. They have found their quarterback in Kyle Shurmur. They've got some depth behind Ralph Webb. I just think they're going to be I think they're good enough to go 6-6, and they're good enough to beat South Carolina at home on the first. Same thing for Kentucky. They bring in Eddie Grant is their offensive coordinator. I think that's going to make a big difference. Defensively, they're going to be better. They have found their quarterback in Drew Barker. A lot of this league is you got to find your quarterback. And I think from a talent standpoint, I think they compare very favorably to South Carolina this year.
Well, I've got you here, even though it's not all SEC. Clemson goes to Auburn mm-hmm. to start the season. Clemson has immense expectations after what they did last year. And I think Deshaun Watson's the best player in America coming in. How do you see that game as the importance for both of those schools?
Well, it's very important for Auburn to show that they've regained their offensive identity. They've headed in the right direction. I certainly don't see them beating Clemson. I just think the talent level at Clemson is so good. And, of course, Deshaun Watson is, in my mind, the best quarterback in the country. And so I think it'll be a good game early because of the atmosphere, because of the opening. But I'm anxious to see how Clemson does this year after being so successful last year. You know, got to go to Florida State.
Right.
That's going to be interesting. But it's going to be fun. September 3rd is going to be – I've done this a long time. September 3rd is the best opening Saturday I've ever seen in my 40 years of covering college football.
Yeah, and these made-for-TV events that have turned it into that I think are spectacular because we used to – almost everybody opened up with the perennial cupcake, right?
Right.
And so they've done this for us. That's at least something we can chew on. Are you ready for tomorrow and the circus that is Alabama visiting this hotel?
Every year I tell people, if you can only come to SEC Media Days one day, come when Alabama's there. You know, it doesn't matter who the coach at Alabama is. It was just as crazy for Mike Dubose as it is for Nick Saban, and that's just the nature of the beast. And I usually get here early because I have stuff I've got to do, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, that lobby over there is going to be full, and God bless them. They love their Crimson Tide.
Well, our brand-new colleague, Bill Gunner, here is a rookie in terms of Alabama coming in, so I've told him he has no idea what he's in for.
It is a piece of Americana. Let's just put it
to you. Tony, great to have you, sir. Thank you so much. Tony Barnhart, Mr. CFB on Twitter, Gridiron Now as well. Appreciate his time today.